Hey there, buddy. Welcome back. Hal Eisner here. And you know, you may live in a community where you have these electric scooters that have suddenly dropped out of the sky, seemingly. There are two companies, Bird and Lime, and they've provided these things almost in an Uber-like way where you can grab a scooter off of the ground, use your smartphone app to be able to get it to work, and then go somewhere, and then just drop it back on the sidewalk. Well, for some people, this is a nice convenience. It's actually kind of a cool ride. But for others, it's become somewhat controversial, and that's what this week's conversation is about. Why don't we do this? We have a room full of people right now who really have a lot to say about scooters. And so why don't we just let you introduce yourselves? First of all, let's start with the Deputy City Manager of the City of Santa Monica.
Sure. So I'm Anuj Gupta, Deputy City Manager and Director of Policy for the City of Santa Monica.
Lieutenant?
Lieutenant Candace Covarrubias, Santa Monica Police Department.
And you're in charge of traffic management, is that what it means?
Traffic division.
Traffic division,
that's
okay.
Correct.
And so these things fall under your purview because they get in traffic.
That's right.
Okay. Lieutenant?
Lieutenant Saul Rodriguez, Public Information Officer for the Santa Monica Police Department.
Okay, and you've certainly had your share of issues dealing with the media trying to get the word out about what scooter riders should know. And Thomas?
I'm Thomas Lord. I'm the general manager for Los Angeles for Lime. We're one of the Douglas electric scooter companies.
Yeah, there are a couple of major companies. Lime is one, and another one is Bird. And we haven't been able to get anybody from Bird to participate with us, but that's fine because, you know, I'm sure you can address some of the very same issues.
Yeah.
I want to start with Anuj because you've been working on a policy for the City of Santa Monica on how best to make these things, these electric scooters, work in your city as another form of transportation.
Absolutely, and we are committed to making it work. You know, we in some ways are the birthplace of electric scooters. Bird dropped electric scooters on our sidewalks last fall, and it was the first market, I think, first city to have this kind of a dockless electric scooter model. And then we had Lime join our streets this spring. But, you know, we're committed to finding a way to make this a sustainable and, above all, safe transportation option in Santa Monica. We have a pilot program that's starting this fall that our city council has asked us to design that will allow us to test some new ways of allowing riders to park safely, companies that will partner with us to enhance safety, enhance education, and really get the word out about this new transportation option.
How did you feel when they just literally dropped these from the sky? I mean, these literally landed on your sidewalks out of nowhere.
They did, and it was a challenge, and it was a violation of our business licensing and permitting laws, and we had to resolve that, including with my colleagues in the city attorney's office. But we're really focused now on making this program, this transportation option, work in Santa Monica in a way that's safe for all of our residents on our streets and sidewalks.
So I'm curious, are you doing things like setting up particular areas for people to park these things rather than have them helter-skelter kind of littering all over the sidewalks? Is that one of the things?
Absolutely, and that's the entire reason why we in the City of Santa Monica are committed to a pilot program. It will enable us to try some new things, and I think the idea of drop zones, designating areas on the curb, or using potentially parking spots, particularly in our downtown, to allow them to be places where they can be parked and picked up from, and hopefully working with our partners to incentivize or require users to put the scooters in those locations would be what we would be looking at.
Strikes me one of the biggest problems you have is people riding without helmets. Is there something that you as a city are going to require so that there are helmets easily available for anybody to grab when they grab one of these scooters that's out on a sidewalk somewhere?
So we are holding an open and competitive application process for this pilot right now, and we are wide open to, we have a lot of very smart, high-tech companies, including Lime, at the table that will be applying for this program, and we are encouraging all sorts of ideas and creativity to make helmets more available. Above all, it's about safety and about complying with the law.
Let me ask you, I mean, the City of Beverly Hills just put a ban on scooters in their city for 6 months. And I guess that's so they can kind of figure out how to handle them. The city of West Hollywood has put the kibosh to them. They don't want them. And so has there been any thought in Santa Monica about doing the same thing?
You know, we've looked at all the different options, but our city council has made clear that we in Santa Monica are all about truly creating a new model of mobility, giving people lots of transportation choices. And, you know, we also have, having been the birthplace of scooters, we have thousands of them and a real demand in our community. And it would have been probably more disruptive and difficult to take them all off the streets. And ultimately, that was not the direction the council chose to go. So we're committed in the meantime to making it work. And we're working with Lime and Bird on a daily basis to enhance safety, enhance education. Above all, we're trying to make this a sustainable mode of transportation in Santa Monica.
I noticed that you're calling this Santa Monica the birthplace of scooters. Well, why that?
Because it was the first market that had a dockless electric scooter program when Bird launched last fall. Obviously now I think both companies are in probably 100 cities or more around the country and probably internationally, but it all started in Santa Monica, and it's not uncommon for us. We are the home of Silicon Beach. A lot of tech companies, innovations begin in Santa Monica and then go to the rest of the world. And, you know, in many ways, it's a challenge that we're eager to take on, is figuring out a way to make this work and make it safe.
Just tell me, I know you're going to have to scoot out of here. Scoot, is that
nice?
You have to scoot out of here?
I'll be wearing my helmet.
Yeah, okay, good to hear.
Thank you.
But I do want to ask you, what do you want to tell people, now that you sort of have this opportunity, about scooters and Santa Monica?
You know, above all, I think it's important that everyone recognize that this is a new mode of transportation. These are not toys. They're not like the Razor scooters that your young child may have and be riding on the sidewalks. These are electric, high-speed devices, which is part of what makes them appealing, but also a part of what makes our obligation to make them safe particularly crucial. And so, we want to say that Santa Monica is a place that can support these types of devices, but people need to use them in compliance with the law. They need to stay off the sidewalks, wear a helmet. Above all, keep your kids off them. Honestly, as a parent, I think that's probably the hardest thing for me to see, is when people ride with, either put their kids on the scooters alone or ride with their 5, 6, 7-year-old child. These are very, very serious transportation devices, and that's extremely dangerous in addition to being against the law.
So this pilot project, just to be clear, will be an experiment to determine what works and what works well. And so you'll keep or enhance some of the things that seem to be working, and you'll get rid of some of the things that may not be cutting the mustard?
That's exactly right. We have designed a 16-month pilot that will start in September and last through the end of next year. And it will allow us to test some new solutions on parking, on safety, and also kind of bring up the best practices from the operators that we choose, to ensure that they're working with us in a positive relationship to make sure that this can succeed in Santa Monica and keep people safe.
Anuj Gupta, thank you very much.
Thanks.
I know, great to be with you.
I know
you're going to get on that scooter and ride right back down to Santa Monica, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Helmet, right?
In the bike lane,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Let's go to Lieutenant Covarrubias, and you know, let's pick up on what Anuj was saying, because I think some of what he's saying is very important. You've been writing tickets like crazy. You've been stopping people. Tell me about that.
Well, I think when the situation first came to the forefront in Santa Monica back in September, we were kind of a little bit in a quandary of how we're going to handle this. What exactly is this device? Where does it fall within the vehicle code? And so it caused us to do some research, and I'm glad we did, and we were able to identify it, and we confirmed with our state partners that it is considered an electric motorized scooter, and then what vehicle code are we going to use in order to enforce legislation or enforce our citation issuance. And what we found out is that these things are not slow in any means, and a helmet is something that is really necessary. And as they launch more and more into our city, and we're seeing more and more scooters, we're seeing more and more collisions, whether it be a solo incident or what have you. And I think that's really pushed us to start enforcing citations on helmets.
Well, what kind of numbers do you have on accidents?
So in the city that has been reported to us, we've seen 31 traffic collisions involving scooters. That does not include the 30 calls for service that our fire department has responded to that are just injury collisions. So we only respond to a traffic collision if it involves an injury of some sort. If it's a solo rider that is injured, a fire department will show up because it's considered a medical emergency. But in looking and reviewing and speaking with our fire department partners, majority of incidents involve head trauma, and everyone is getting transported at a rate of, I think, 75% of all get transported to the hospital, broken bone, hematoma, brain bleeds. So, like I said, the hardest thing for us is to overcome the perception that it's a toy.
We saw an accident where a woman on one of these things on the bike path at Santa Monica on the beach, where you're not supposed to have them, fell and cracked her head.
Right.
And lifeguard said had she had a helmet, it would have helped keep her from getting that injury. Mm-hmm. She walked away fine, but it wasn't much fun.
Right.
And I guess, you know, one of the points that Lieutenant Rodriguez and I have talked about over the last couple of weeks as we've sort of prepared this opportunity to talk about this is getting the word out. And that's kind of been a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, Hal. So it's been an issue for us because, as you know, Candace just stated, we've written over 800 citations. So obviously the enforcement doesn't always work. We know that education, getting that awareness out there of what the rules are when you are using these devices, extremely important, because otherwise we are not going to be able to prevent any accidents, not going to have people riding them appropriately, being courteous riders. So anything we can do to spread that word, make people know how to use it, because as Anuj stated, it's going to be a pilot program in our city, and it's going to start in September, and it's going to be in Santa Monica for at least another 16 months.
Now, before you get to that pilot project, you still have enforcement and education to do.
Yes.
So how do you do that going forward?
Well, we do it multifaceted. We include our social media. We do campaigns like we did yesterday, which did get a lot of media attention. We want to continue to use whatever outlets we can to spread that word, using our partners too, to our left from Lime and Bird, to also spread that initial process of what we're doing to make sure that it's done the right way.
So, Thomas, let me ask you from Lime. So, pick up on that. I mean, what are you doing in conjunction with Santa Monica Police?
Yeah. So, the enforcement action yesterday, we were aware of before it happened, and so we sent out some of our operations managers to be there to help to pass out helmets and to just kind of be on the ground trying to help the enforcement as much as we could, right?
But that was because you knew there was something that was happening.
Yeah.
But if nothing was happening, who would have been there to hand out helmets?
Yeah. So that's a program that we have, or what would help that situation is a program that we've started and we're continuing to ramp up, where we have local business partners in Santa Monica or in another area that we would operate in, where we would provide helmets to, like, say, a hotel or a different local business. And in our app, you would be able to see where these places are and then go there and get a helmet from them.
It would be free.
Yeah, correct.
But are you paying the businesses in order to be a facilitator for you?
No. So I think the incentive to the business is that it drives customers there, right? So potential customers would be there to pick up a helmet and then hopefully, you know, may also have another
transaction. Soda or
exactly.
Something,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So how far along is that program right now?
We have a couple partners already in Santa Monica, and in some of our other cities we've already partnered with them, or have part like a more robust partnership. We're continuing to grow it every day, though.
So there's a lot of moving parts here. I mean, one thing that you and I haven't really talked about that I'd like to talk about, and I know there's probably not a lot you can say about it, is that Uber is now working with Lime, or will be.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about that?
So Uber is one of our investors in our latest round of funding, and so we will be partnering with them in various ways.
And so somebody might take an Uber, and then from the Uber try to find where
exactly.
There's a scooter?
Exactly. So the Uber could get you, you know, I think what it is like, it's almost like these large rideshare companies are seeing that this is the way transportation is going, especially for that first last mile or the short trips. And so they're getting in on the game, right? Because they see that this is a part of the transportation kind of master plan that, like, the future may hold for like our cities.
I hope there's a lot of people listening who are scooter riders, because to have these folks in one place to be able to talk about this is somewhat unusual, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got an opportunity here. What do you want to tell these folks besides use Lime?
Yeah, well, use Lime. Yeah, definitely use Lime. I mean, follow your local regulations. And you know, the app shows you what those local laws are. So, like, read through what is being pushed to you.
Do you think some people just take their phone, do the code thing on their phone, so they're able to get the thing to activate, mm-hmm. but they don't really go through the different options to read what the laws are, read where you get a helmet, read what you should know.
Yeah.
Are you able to tell that from your data input or output?
I can't tell whether or not they've read it. I mean, we'd be able to see how quickly they went through and maybe be able to figure out something from that. But I mean, we all kind of do that, right? When you sign up for a service, you agree to a bunch of stuff that you don't necessarily.
Right. You sign here yeah. that says I have read everything, but you really didn't because you just wanted to get into the app.
Yeah. So we've tried to do a couple of things. One is just changing up how that messaging is shown to people, right? So like, it's not a long waiver that you're just click, click, click through, right? Like, it's a screen that's very simple. Here's a, you know, text and a picture, and that's it. We've also put, like, messaging directly on the scooters. And then one of the cool things, I think, especially about the program in Santa Monica, is that we've partnered with their communications division to do a lot of, like, perhaps messaging on the sidewalk and, you know, things like that, that without that public-private partnership, we wouldn't be able to do.
So let me ask you, Lieutenant Covarrubias, let me ask you, what's your sense of these companies and their ability to cater to the needs of law enforcement? Because at some point, you can police the violations, but a company sort of has to implement its own policing of something, right?
That's correct.
And so what do you want to see companies like Lime do?
I think a little bit more of what they're doing. I think Lime has definitely come to the forefront and has started off aggressively with respect to their education campaign. Them being out there yesterday on the operation was nice to see. It was not expected. I did not know that they were going to be out there giving out helmets. And I think it showed that we can work in partnership with shared mobility vendors because it's something that we're committed to. Vision Zero is a huge commitment on behalf of the city, and this is part of that, how we're going to reach that.
Saul, can you tell me what Vision Zero is?
Well, actually, I'll turn it back to Candace because she's well endowed into that, and she'll give you more information on that.
What is that?
So Vision Zero is a commitment that has been brought to the country as a whole, and it's basically the elimination of severe and fatal traffic accidents for a 10-year period. So by 2027, that's the goal, is that we have zero. And we understand it could be almost an impossible goal, but it's good to dream big, right? And that's really key. And when you have people on scooters that are going 20 miles an hour and taking a head tumble, that is something that is going to affect that number. And so we want to make sure that everyone's safe and everyone is aware and everyone is keen on regulations, and more so that we're embracing a community that cares about one another to look out for one another.
When you say this, and I'm feeling a little dumb at the moment, Vision Zero, is that a Santa Monica program?
No, actually.
That's a federal program?
It's not even a federal program. It's a commitment that all cities have made or have states have made throughout the United States to push towards that. So because of severe and fatal traffic collisions going on the rise over the last few years, the city is now... Most cities are now looking at their traffic programs and trying to figure out if there's things that they can do to make the streets safer for all modes of transportation, whether it be vehicle or whether it be pedestrian, bicyclist. And that's why you'll hear things such as like a road diet, right? And that's really what Vision Zero is about.
It's a road diet?
Yeah. It's,
okay, I'm game. What is it? I'll bite.
Something new.
Right.
A road diet.
So basically...
Can I lose a few pounds that way?
Yeah. The whole goal is just to reduce congestion and improve traffic circulation. And so what you're doing is you're looking at streets in your city that are highly traveled and trying to find ways to make them safer and make them smoother bring protected bike lanes or shared lanes or whatever it is so that everyone can get around.
You know, I want to just ask real quick, with regard to these scooter accidents, mm-hmm. do you have some in which a scooter person is not, somebody on a scooter is not paying attention and they get right in front of a car and get hit? Have you had some of those?
Yes.
Is some of that because they're listening to music or they have earphones on, do you know, and they're distracted?
No, it in all the reports I've read, there's nothing that indicate it's a distracted driving situation or a distracted riding. It's basically on the sidewalk, bolt in front, not stopping for a stop sign, not stopping for a red light, not following the rules of the road, and they end up getting seriously hurt.
You want to say something?
No, again, like Candace said, that's been what we're seeing when people aren't paying attention to the road. Make sure you stop by the stop, every stop sign, the red light, whatever you need to do to make sure you do it safely and appropriately, because we want to avoid anybody from getting injured in any conveyance, whether on bike, pedestrian, vehicle, whatever it is, need to do it safely.
You know, I can't remember really a situation where all of a sudden something just came along.
Yeah.
You know, we've had fads. You know, the pet rock. We've had things that have come along.
We had the, I mean, it's similar in some regards to ride-sharing companies, right? Like, that came along and it's stuck, right? And it was a kind of a race for cities to regulate it in the same way that this is.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the airport, Uber and Lyft drivers couldn't figure out whether they should go to the taxi cab place, and taxi cab drivers couldn't figure out where there was. It became very confusing until, for instance, Los Angeles International Airport designated certain places, which other airports have done too, designated certain places for ride share.
Yeah.
As opposed to taxis.
That's similar to like what the pilot program would do, right, in Santa Monica. And that's why I think that cities should look to Santa Monica to figure out what their regulations should be for dockless mobility options, because defining these areas and defining the regulations causes that confusion to kind of go away, right? On the Vision Zero front, to jump back real quick, one of the things that is a great benefit to having a partnership with a mobility company like Lime is that you get the data sharing, all the data that we collect, like, will get shared with the city, right? So we can show which streets have the most scooter usage, and you know, that informs then infrastructure decisions, and like, okay, tons of people are making left-hand turns here, maybe we should have a protected left-hand turn lane here. But there's a lot of, you know, scooters on this street, doesn't have a bike lane, hey, maybe we should add a bike lane here.
This has been something that's been talked about, but because you have access to people's information.
Yeah, I'm opening privacy, up a can of worms
there, right? Yeah. Are there privacy concerns here to talk about?
So we are very protective of our user data, and in fact, we don't even store individual data on our own, like, servers. It's all done in the U.S. in protected servers that are not, like, our own. So we couldn't even tell, like, you know, if we wanted to pull someone's credit card information or something like that.
You started with bicycles.
Correct.
And these are kind of electric bicycles that also...
We started with pedal bikes.
Oh, pedal bikes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you moved to electric-supported bikes.
Yeah.
And then the scooters?
Uh-huh.
Is that how that went?
Yeah.
And so do you feel like, in some ways... And I'm kind of leading somewhere here, but do you feel in some ways that scooters could overtake bikes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the demand is obvious, right? It's obvious that people prefer this mode of transportation versus a bike or versus a short trip in a car.
All right, so the city of Los Angeles has, Metro has spent a lot of money on bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel that sometimes when you're dealing with cities about how to get your product on the road, that sometimes you're competing over the money they've already spent for bicycle use, and so maybe they're hesitant to want to be able to let you come in because they don't want to hurt the program they've already invested in?
I think it's a mixed bag. Like, right, you see that, but you also see, like, you see people get convinced by how much better a dockless solution is. So in Los Angeles, like, the proposed regulations included a 3-mile buffer around the Metro bike stations, and council immediately decided, or traffic committee immediately decided that, you know, that's a bad idea. And it was like, why are we protecting this investment? Like, why are we throwing good money after bad, kind of, when we can change to this solution that is obviously much better and it suits people's needs in a better way? But I think that, to answer the question, like, it's obvious that this is a better solution. So cities are coming around and you're not seeing them protect investments like that.
So right now, Santa Monica is working diligently to try to come up with this project, a pilot program. Do you feel in some ways you're creating the template? Because there's really not necessarily a template out there in other cities for how to approach this logically?
Absolutely, yes. I think in looking at some of the dockless vehicle programs that have existed in other states that have not been as successful, I think it's definitely now we see through council direction something that they want us to be successful at. And so we will probably be one of the first cities to have a successful dockless vehicle program.
And then that way they can come, other cities can come to you and sort of say, how'd you do it?
Right. I think it's fair to say that the world is watching.
Do you really?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, the world is watching.
100%.
I hope the world is listening right now.
Yeah.
I'd love to know there are that many people out there hearing what we have to say. Do you think the world is watching?
I absolutely do. And I think it's right that Santa Monica is ground zero for this. And I think that the approach that the city has taken is the right approach, which is, you know, let's try it, let's experiment, let's see what works and what doesn't, and then let's implement a permanent program after that. When we are dealing with other cities, we consistently point to Santa Monica and say, like, hey, look at what they're doing, and look at how you know, look at all the benefits that they're seeing, and look at how flexible the city has been.
This sort of has been in my mind like the Uberization of scooters.
Yeah.
Because you're using your smartphone just like you would with, say, Uber or Lyft, and you're renting the device, and then when you're done with it, you turn it off. Mm-hmm. The littering has annoyed a lot of people, just laying these things on the sidewalk when you're done. How have you dealt with that concern?
Yeah, I think Lime in particular has dealt with it in two ways. One is, like, it's rider education first. Don't leave them in a place where you shouldn't leave them. But we also have our internal operations team, which responds to, improperly parked vehicles or vehicles that have tipped over or something like that.
Do they drive around?
They drive around
and
patrol.
Look for them?
Yeah. And then we also have our juicer program, which is kind of like a crowdsource model. So, like, at the end of the day, anybody can come pick up a scooter, charge it at their home, get paid per scooter to then put it back out in a designated location.
So our studio is in West LA.
Yeah.
And it's off of Bundy. That's the name of the street.
Uh-huh.
And
I used to live off Bundy, actually.
What's that?
I used to live right here off Bundy.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Well, it used to be, until about the last week or so, that you would find these things all over the sidewalks. I would drive down Bundy to get to work, and they were just scattered like somebody had thrown the trash out.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, this last week, I've noticed they're more lined up along the curb. Is that part of your education, that you're supposed to line them up along the curb?
Yeah. So part of our juicer program is an education component, right? And we can push new information to that kind of crowdsource group whenever we need to. So we can adjust based on what we're seeing. So if we see in particular like Bundy, like, all right, hey, they're not properly parked, we can say to that group that's deploying on Bundy, hey, make sure you're doing it this way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're trying to police your own units.
Yeah. I mean, that's the intent for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you had many complaints about littering?
Yes. We've gotten quite a few complaints about them. When the user's done with the scooter just being left on the sidewalk, blocking the roadway, sidewalk, if you will, too, as well, and people trip and fall on them, we get complaints about that. Those seem to be the primary complaints we get, and then people riding on sidewalks. So those are the two main issues that we've been trying to address, and obviously the helmet issue, because it is a safety issue, but the blocking the roadways and the sidewalk is a big concern.
There's another interesting issue/challenge, opportunity, whatever you want to call it, in Santa Monica, and that's you get a lot of tourists. And because you get a lot of tourists from other parts of the world that don't even speak our language at all, they come in, they see these things, they say, oh, look how fun that might be, and they rent one of these things, and they're 17 years old or 16 years old, now they're violating the law.
Yeah, that's part of what our Lime partners initially hit on about working with our local hotels. We are working with the Santa Monica Travel and Tourism to try to spread that word out that way, because that is key. Like you said, we don't, as a police department, don't want to cite that 15-year-old kid that's from another country that doesn't understand the rules. And part of that is the educational component that we're looking to continue to develop and increase. So hopefully, again, we will continue to work with that the hotel industry as well.
You've started using road signs to spread information. How have you done that, Lieutenant?
Well, that was actually done through City Hall. So the city manager's office in Anuj actually had got some signs and put it up in particular on the bike beach path, because we really needed to address the issues that was happening down there.
And what about other forms of visual communication that could be used on the city streets. Have you thought about adding signage? Have you thought about leafleting? Have you thought about other ways to let people know this is okay if you do it this way, but it's not okay if you do it that way?
Yeah, we've used, we have about four visual messaging boards, and we've placed them in strategic locations in Santa Monica that we know there to be a high user of scooters. And on those boards, it'll flash almost like the amber alert boards that you'll see on the freeway. And they'll basically tell you the scooter laws, like wear a helmet, you know, have to be 18, and it'll just kind of scroll through what the laws are. And we've also created a little cheat sheet that I'll leave for you here that outlines all the vehicle codes as it pertains to a motorized scooter.
Well, this is great. So what I'm looking at right now, since we don't have a camera on this, is a card that's probably a little larger than an index card or a postcard, for those who know what postcards are. snail mail. Stuff we used to, years ago, we used to put stamps on them, stick them in mailboxes, and send people notes.
Stamp?
Right. Yeah,
what
stamp.
What is that?
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
You lick it on the back and you slap it on the postcard.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, anyway. So this is a kind of a small card, but it's got a lot of information on both the front and the back. And it talks about the fact that this is a motorized scooter, which is a two-wheel device that has handlebars and a floorboard. And the reason for putting it in that language is because that's what it says in the law.
That's correct.
That a motorized vehicle is described as that.
Right.
And so you've stuck with the definition. And it says here, even though insurance is not required, owners of these scooters should contact their insurance company to determine if coverage is available. Well, that's a new one. I haven't heard that one. And so talk to me about that. who wants to jump in and grab that one?
I think that it's new for us too. Like insurance and stuff like that is something that we necessarily haven't figured out yet. Like who is kind of the right party to carry insurance. So we have insurance that covers the city. So we indemnify the city from any liability, and we also exceed any city insurance regulations.
Can you get sued?
Can we get sued?
Yeah, by a user.
Anybody can get sued for anything, but we, have a waiver and stuff like that. We have a way to report incidents within our app. So if you have an incident, you can report it to us, and we can kind of
you
investigate
review it.
We review it. We don't share any of that, kind of information because it's private between us and the user, but that's kind of where we are on that.
Now, it says here that a motorized scooter may be operated on a bike path, a trail, or a bikeway, but not a sidewalk. But you also have said that it can't be used on the pathway at the beach.
That's correct.
Well, it says here that you can use it on a bike path, a trail, so that's what you have on the beach. Why can't you use it on the beach if you say that you can do that?
Because we have a municipal code that trumps the vehicle code with respect to the bike and beach path. And so our municipal code clearly states that you can have any type of motorized vehicle on the bike beach path. And so if we go down and do any type of enforcement on the bike and the beach path, it's going to be for the municipal code and not for the vehicle code.
This is really a great card. I think, what I'd like to do, and Patrick O'Brien is our director of digital here at Fox 11, and I'll just ask you out loud, if I get a nice picture of that, can we put that in conjunction with this podcast so people can read it?
I'd also like to jump in. Lime has a similar card that has the bike lanes in Santa Monica laid out. And I think it's a great addition.
I think we could add a link to that probably too as well. So, this is a great opportunity for us to share information, to learn from each other, to be able to figure out what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do. I think we've addressed a lot of these things. Is there anything that we sort of haven't touched on that you want to make sure that you say to the people that might be listening?
Well, since Candace is looking at me, we'll go
with Lieutenant Rodriguez.
Like you said, Better Call Saul here.
Yeah.
I suggest, again, as has been repeated over and over again, if you're going to ride a scooter, do it safely. Wear a helmet. Make sure you are licensed. Do not ride on the sidewalk. When you are done with it, put it somewhere out of the way where it doesn't block the public right of way, and you'll be fine, and you won't receive a citation.
All right. Lieutenant?
I just encourage everyone to be cautious and be aware of their surroundings. I don't want to see anybody hurt out there. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And it can be a great mode of transportation if used properly and correctly, and if we all share a little bit of consideration for each other.
I think that's nicely said, Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both points. One thing I would like to throw in at the end here is that most of Americans' car trips are under two miles. And since we've launched in LA in April, we've done over 500,000 trips on scooters. We've saved over 700,000 pounds of CO2 that would have been emitted if those trips had been in cars. And we've saved 21,000 gallons of gas. And so I think that replacing car trips that are short within our cities with something like a dockless electric scooter is such a great way to kind of help the environment and avoid congestion within cities like Santa.
Anybody that knows me and has listened to these podcasts may be aware that I'm somebody who tries to be green, mm-hmm. A little like Kermit the Frog.
And it's not easy being green.
It's not easy being green. I do the solar panel thing. I have the low flow water. I've got the smart heater and air conditioner unit. I really kind of think that that's a valuable thing to do. And I do understand what you're saying about the impact or the lack of on the environment. And I think that's probably a very good thing. But I also think that what overrides all this conversation is the fact that there are a lot of people that don't know what the hell to do with it, and how to use it properly, and how not to get hurt, and how not to get a ticket from any of the police officers from Santa Monica or elsewhere. There's a lot here to know. And while this helps the environment, when you're dealing with people that could get in front of cars, could get hurt by falling on a trail, not wearing a helmet, it almost seems like that's almost the issue that's front and center and the issue that really has to be addressed. And so Santa Monica, the home of scooters, how'd you say that? The birthplace of scooters.
The birthplace of e-scooters.
Yes.
New name. Santa I can see it now on the pier where the sign says Santa Monica Pier,
birthplace.
And then there'll be a sign underneath that says Birthplace of Scooters,
well,
right?
That's an iconic structure. I don't know if we can...
Yeah, you may not be able
to... It's an iconic time.
Slow down that one a little bit.
Yeah, you may not be able to mess with that thing. But it's a good conversation. I'm really glad we had this opportunity to talk about, you know, these things because they're out there and they're growing. What are your plans for putting more out there, Thomas?
I think we'll use the data that we collect from the market to figure out, you know, based on demand, how many should go out. Santa Monica's regulations are, or the pilot program's very forward-thinking insofar as they, you know, the amount that we can put out is based on the demand per scooter that we see.
But other cities, I mean...
Other cities, I mean, we want to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you end up in the inland cities, not such the coastal cities where you're concentrating right now?
Yeah, I think that'll just be in time, right?
But it's also dealing with these local governments and making it all work to their satisfaction as well.
Yeah.
All right, Thomas Lord with Lime, General Manager, Los Angeles. Thank you very much
for
joining us. Lieutenant Candace Covarrubias. Did I get it right?
You sure did.
Yay! I got it right. Lieutenant Saul Rodriguez.
Thank you, Hal.
Better call Saul.
That's right.
And what the hell, everybody? What the hell?
What the hell, Hal?
All
right, thanks, guys. So we provided some links in the description below so you can follow up on some of the things that both Lime and Santa Monica Police are trying to put out there in the way of information. And as for me, I hope you'll subscribe to What the Hal. You can do that on iTunes, on Google Play, on any of the platforms where you get podcasts. And for now, oh, what the hell? That's it.